Jesus appears to his disciples on Easter evening, and the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." At a first glance, it's maybe the most natural thing for Jesus to say. Peace has, after all, been at the very center of his life and his ministry. In fact, long before he began preaching and teaching and healing, songs of peace were sung about him. "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us," sang the priest Zechariah, "to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." "Glory to God in the highest heaven," belted the angels at Jesus' birth, "and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace," sang old Simeon in the temple with the infant Jesus in his arms. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the presence of all peoples." When he grew and began his ministry, he spoke words of peace to those who came to him for healing. "Go in peace," he said again and again. When he sent his disciples out into the towns and villages all around, he commanded them to begin their visits by saying, "Peace to this house." He preached peace to listening crowds. He brought peace to troubled hearts. He lamented the absence of peace in the world around him. It was central to his life and work from beginning to end. So yes, on the one hand, it makes perfect sense that Jesus would greet the disciples in this very way on Easter evening. "Peace be with you." It's a very Jesus thing to say. And on the other hand, it's a pretty surprising thing to say on this particular occasion to this particular group. Because, well, things are kind of a mess for the disciples on Easter evening. The past days had been filled with that unbelievable flurry of activity. Just a few days ago, they'd entered Jerusalem at Jesus' side while he was given that royal welcome by the people. Their hopes had to have soared to see the cheering crowds lauding their teacher and friend. And all that had changed quickly, of course, as the powerful, determined to bring this rabble-rouser down, turned the crowds against him. In an instant, he was snatched away, and the disciples found themselves scattered in fear while Jesus was condemned and executed in a public display of horrific violence. It had to have been deeply traumatizing for all of them to lose their beloved rabbi in this way. I imagine them nursing feelings of guilt as well for having abandoned or denied him in his time of need. They must have been deeply uncertain about their future, about what they were supposed to do next, now that the movement they had invested their lives in was suddenly brought to this terrible and final end. And to make matters worse, being the students and friends of the guy who was just killed as a political dissident was probably not a particularly safe place to be in. The disciples are going through a whole lot right now. Grief, trauma, regret, uncertainty, very real and present fear. That's the scene on Easter evening. And when you keep all of that in mind, Jesus' words might not sound quite so obvious or natural. "Peace be with you." What can that possibly mean in the middle of so much trouble? This feels like a question not just for the disciples on that first Easter evening 2,000 years ago, but for all of us on this Easter season today. Peace is at the heart of Jesus' message. We believe it's what he came to embody and to bring about. We wish one another peace as part of our weekly worship. And yet there are storms all over the place. It's our annual Harvest Festival today, and the two wonderful projects that we are supporting are both evidence of this fact. Neither would exist in a perfectly peaceful world. Agora works with refugees and asylum seekers here in Geneva, with people fleeing injustice and instability in their home countries, seeking hope and safety and a fresh start here. The Lutheran World Federation in Ethiopia is helping to create and run safe spaces for women and girls in a region where war and hardship have led to widespread gender-based violence. These are just two examples, of course. Storms are raging in so many places, so many communities, and often we don't need to look farther than our own lives, for worries and griefs and fears aplenty. So I don't know about you, but I think in the back of my mind, I tend to imagine peace as kind of this magical time when someday everything around and within me is going to fall into place, when all the loose ends of my work are going to be tied up, and the people I'm closest to will all be perfectly happy and well, and I'll be free from worries and cares about my life or the world around me. This is often kind of my default idea of what being at peace is about. Does that sound familiar to any of you? Jesus speaks peace, but what does that mean when the storm is still turning around? How can we have peace when we're worried about our families or our jobs or our countries? How can we have peace when we're not sure what tomorrow will bring or what it will ask of us? This past Lent, many of us read For Such a Time as This, a book by Hannah Reichel about what it means to be the church, to witness faithfully in a time of instability and injustice in the world. It's a book deliberately written for times that are not particularly peaceful. And right at the start, Dr. Reichel speaks about the importance of finding a place of calm in the midst of the storm, and shares a portion of a letter written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Lutheran pastor and theologian, from Tegel prison in 1944. Bonhoeffer was imprisoned by the Nazis at this time for his work in opposition to the regime. And in this particular letter, he writes to a friend about how many of the fellow prisoners around him are utterly consumed with whatever seems to be happening in the present moment. When bombers come, they are nothing but fear itself, he writes. When there's something good to eat, nothing but greed itself. When they fail to get what they want, they become desperate. If something succeeds, well, that's all they see. And personally, I can imagine myself in just this fragmented and frantic way. It sounds understandable and pretty natural to me. And yet Bonhoeffer writes that our faith offers us something more. Christianity, on the other hand, he goes on, puts us into many different dimensions of life at the same time. We weep with those who weep at the same time as we rejoice with those who rejoice. We fear. I've just been interrupted again by the siren, so I'm sitting outdoors enjoying the sun. The letter really says that there, this kind of interruption. We fear for our lives, but at the same time, we must think thoughts that are much more important to us than our lives. Christianity puts us into many different dimensions of life at the same time. Isn't that an amazing thought? It means we can be present and engaged right here, in the middle of all the challenges and complexities of life, weeping with those who weep, tending to those in need, resisting injustice, rejoicing with those who rejoice. And at the very same time, we can be aware of this bigger picture, of joy without limits, of the grace of God that comes before us and goes on beyond us. I certainly do not manage this all the time, but I find the notion and the promise there so helpful. And I think it helps me make some sense of the peace that Jesus offers to his disciples and to us. The peace Jesus offers in this life is not that magical oasis of no worries and no responsibilities and no danger. It's the assurance that his life goes on, that God's love goes on, no matter what. It's the assurance that, as Rowan Williams says, even when humans do the very worst we can do, God is still God. That's what Jesus is doing with his disciples on that first Easter evening, after all, showing them his hands and his feet, eating with them, opening the scriptures. He's assuring them that he's not, in fact, gone. Despite all that's been done to him, he's still there to be met in this life. The love of God is not snuffed out by anything humanity can do. Jesus' gracious, abiding, generous love is always there to hold us, always there to meet us, to search us out behind whatever barriers we put up, to find us again and again. And in that reality, in that promise, there's peace to be found in the meantime. Peace that's not ultimately dependent on outward circumstances, but on the tenacity and faithfulness of God. So, maybe this week, when you feel yourself consumed by what's around you, by the tasks you know you're going to face or the ones you're afraid you might, by uncertainty or worry or fear, you might think back to that room on Easter evening where a group of friends faced a royal mess together. You might think of Jesus appearing to them with words of peace in the middle of all of it. And you might think of him speaking those same words to you. Peace be with you. Because friends, we are witnesses of these things. We are witnesses that grace keeps going, that life keeps going, that nothing will separate us from the love at the heart of things. We are witnesses to the Easter truth that nothing, nothing can overcome the joy and peace of our God. Thanks be to God. Amen.